Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's meditation and application to our daily faith life is found recorded in the book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 32 to 39. This Jesus God has raised up, of which we are all witnesses. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he says himself, the Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand, till I make your enemies your footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart, and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said to them, repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children, and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. So far, sermon text. In Christ Jesus, the rock upon which his church is built, dear fellow redeemed, the Old Testament Pentecost day was a day of thanksgiving for the harvest of the first fruits of the spring crops. It was the 50th day after Passover. The Lord chose that day to work his miracle of the Holy Spirit that we heard and read about this morning in Acts chapter 2. Pentecost, therefore, marks the birthday, the beginning, of the New Testament Christian church. It's also a day of thanksgiving for first fruits. Not the first fruits of crops, but the first fruits of souls. For as we hear in Pentecost, the Holy Spirit harvested some 3,000 souls into Christ's church, creating faith in their hearts on that day. And what is the foundation of that church? It's, of course, Jesus Christ. And that's our theme for this morning's sermon. The church's one foundation, Jesus Christ. And our text lays before us three very important truths. The first one is the apostolic message is centered in the crucified and risen Jesus Christ. Second truth is the Holy Spirit is sent by the ascended and exalted Jesus Christ. And the third truth is forgiveness of sins is received only by those who are in connection with faith in Jesus Christ. Peter begins our text with the words, this Jesus. Well, which Jesus is he talking about? He told us in our earlier scripture reading, he said to the people there, men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also know him, being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands, have crucified, and put to death. This Jesus God has raised up, of which we are all witnesses. That's the heart and core of the apostles' message. Jesus Christ crucified and risen again. We believe in a risen and ever-living Lord and Savior. So why could Peter and the disciples be so confident of Christ's resurrection? Because they were eyewitnesses. Eyewitnesses not only of his crucifixion and of his death, but eyewitnesses of the empty tomb and the resurrection back to life. Do you remember who saw Jesus on that first Easter Sunday? First it was those women returning from the tomb early on Easter Sunday morning. Then Mary Magdalene. Then sometime during the afternoon, Peter. Then the two disciples walking the way to Emmaus. And then that Sunday night, all the disciples without Thomas. A week later, again, all the disciples with Thomas saw Jesus, and for the next 40 days from Easter to Ascension, they walked and talked with him. In 1 Corinthians, we're told 500 brethren saw him at one time. So who saw the empty tomb and the risen Christ? All of these men who now on Pentecost Sunday were filled with the special outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Peter is trying to tell these people not just what is happening, but why is this happening? Remember, Jesus' death was widely known. He took the city by storm on Palm Sunday. When he rode into Jerusalem on that little foal, the colt of a donkey, and the city came out and said, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." Then 5 days later, the city was again in an uproar, almost a riot, this time clamoring for his death, saying, "Crucify him! Away with him! Crucify him!" All of Jerusalem knew that Jesus was arrested, was put on trial, convicted, condemned, and taken out to be crucified. Calvary, Golgotha, was a hill right outside the main city gates, along the main road in and out of Jerusalem. The people saw Jesus hanging on the cross. They knew that he was crucified and that he was buried. It was widely known. Remember the report of the empty tomb? It was not only reported by the believers, but the unbelievers as well. When those soldiers came back who had fainted, they said, "We saw the tomb empty. The angel was there." And they fainted. And they were told to tell a lie, that the disciples had come and stolen the body of Jesus away. And in trying to cover up the resurrection, they really actually were furthering it. Even the unbelievers knew the tomb was empty. This fact of the empty tomb was already prophesied in the Old Testament. We read it earlier in Peter's words, when he quoted from David in Psalm 16, "I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is at my right hand, that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart rejoiced and my tongue was glad. Moreover, my flesh also will rest in hope, for you will not leave my soul in Hades, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You have made known to me the ways of life. You will make me full of joy in your presence." Peter clearly tells the people, David was not speaking about himself. He was talking about the Messiah. He said, "Men and brethren, let me speak freely to you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his body, according to the flesh, he would raise up the Christ, the Messiah, to sit on his throne, he, foreseeing this, spoke concerning the resurrection of the Christ, that his soul was not left in Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption." To this day, the fact, the historical fact of the empty tomb, establishes that Jesus did physically, bodily, rise from the dead. That's the message of the apostles. It's the first message that Peter preached on that Pentecost Sunday, the beginning of the New Testament Christian church. And it's the last message that is given to us in the book of Revelation by the Apostle John. It's the same message that almost 2,000 years later we still preach today. Our salvation is found, is centered in none other than the one foundation, Jesus Christ. It's by his death, his resurrection, that we are saved, that we are redeemed, that we are bought back from sin, death, Satan, and hell. There is no other foundation but Christ and him crucified and risen again. And now Peter says, even you people who I'm talking to, you're eyewitnesses of this too. Because you're seeing the effects, the results of what this resurrected, ascended, exalted Savior is doing today. The effects of the Holy Spirit coming upon the people. He writes, therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he, the Messiah, poured out this which you now see and hear. The people could see this miraculous event. They could hear it with their ears. These were untrained, uneducated, most of them men, but they were followers of Jesus who are now boldly confessing Christ. They now were speaking in different languages that they had never been taught. And it wasn't everybody. It was only those who had been in connection with Christ and were the followers of Jesus that had this special blessing of the Spirit. The connection to Jesus was unmistakable, undeniable, and evident to everybody who was standing there on that day. The Holy Spirit was sent by the raised, ascended, and exalted Christ. Again, Peter points to a Psalm of David in Psalm 110. Peter said to the crowd, for David did not ascend into the heavens, but he says himself, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. Obviously, David is talking about the Messiah. He's David's son, being David's descendant, but he's also David's Lord, being his God. And so, the resurrected Christ was told to come up and sit at the right hand of God the Father, which we heard in Ascension means he now rules over all things. Peter then sums it all up in verse 36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly, know for certain, without a doubt, that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. No other conclusion could be drawn than this. That this Jesus, who was crucified and raised again, is Lord of all, and the Messiah, the Savior of the Old Testament. That's the good news. All glory, power, majesty is Christ's. The bad news is, you and you and you and you and all you people out there, Peter says, you put that Christ to death. You took this Jesus and you crucified him. You were waiting for the Messiah for generations to come. And when Jesus came, the Messiah in person, you rejected him. You refused to listen to him. And you crucified him. What could they do? Their eyes were now opened by the law, and their heinous crime, their horrible sin, stared them in the face. We're told they were cut to the heart, like a piercing sword. It cut into their formerly dead, unbelieving hearts. It wasn't just hurt. It was a deadly blow. It crushed them with their guilt and their sins. They couldn't deny it. They couldn't excuse themselves. With guilt and shame, all they could do is say, men and brethren, what shall we do? What a wonderful response. Peter says, repent. Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness, the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Repent. Turn away from your ungodly ways and turn to Christ. Here, repentance is used in the full sense of the word. Acknowledging your own sins, but also looking to Jesus for full and free forgiveness. And be baptized. That's not a command of the law. That's a gospel invitation of God's grace and salvation. Baptism is not a legal requirement which we do and then somehow we do something for God and then God blesses us. It's God working in us through our baptism. We do nothing for him. In baptism, he's washing away our sins. And in many cases of little children, in baptism, he's creating faith in their hearts to believe in him. We're baptized into Christ's death. Paul writes, "Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." All of this is a gift of the Holy Spirit, and all leads us to repent of our sins and believe and trust in Jesus. The last verse of our text is so very, very precious. Precious to us who have children and grandchildren, but precious to all of us as believers. "For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call." Almost 2,000 years ago, the resurrected and exalted Christ sent the Holy Spirit into this world with a special blessing, a special outpouring of the Holy Spirit, which led the disciples to boldly proclaim the risen Christ, speaking different languages for the people to understand. So 3,000 people were converted, ones who had declared Jesus to be guilty and cried out for his crucifixion, and the New Testament Christian church was born. And now, these many years later, the same process of life and salvation is still done today. The same message of the gospel and baptism taking place. You and I belong to that church. Not because we're members of Peace Through Christ Lutheran Church, but because we've been led to repent of our sins, led to look to Jesus Christ alone and believe in him as our Lord and our Savior. We are members of the Holy Christian Church. May our confidence and our trust always be placed in the one foundation, Christ crucified and risen again for me. Our message is centered in him, the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and as our ascended and exalted Savior, he today sends his Holy Spirit through his word, through the sacraments, to work in your heart and my heart a continued repentance of our sins and strengthening of our faith. May we be as bold as those disciples on that Pentecost Sunday and speak that word of Jesus to our co-workers, to our friends, our family members, to strangers, and even those who don't like us, to the glory of our risen Savior. Praise the Lord. Amen. The peace of God which passes understanding will keep your hearts and minds centered in our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.